This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, I caught
you. Hey, and I just want to give a special shout out to all my fans this week.
Wow. I was going to say, I feel like I tried to purposely catch you off guard. We've been talking here off mic for about 20 minutes, and there was a brief lull in the conversation. We've been recording the whole time. We record all of our conversations for the library.
I record myself 24/7.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it worked for Tricky Dick Nixon, so
yeah. Why
not?
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
You tried to catch me off guard, but you're never going to stop me. You're never going to catch me off guard enough that I'm going to neglect to give a special shout out to all my fans.
I feel like you've never given a shout out to your fans. I don't even know. You have fans?
I got fans, Tom. You'll see.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, after you asking, I think you're going to get... attacked by the Tim Hive.
Are you going to give out my address on air?
No, you give out your Twitter handle.
Oh, okay. And what are they going to do? Get false reports?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably. I don't know. What do stans online do?
They could do that. I don't know. I mean, at the end of this episode, maybe I'll give out your Parler handle, and we'll see who gets.
I would love everybody to join me at Parler.
How are you doing this week,
Tom? I'm doing wonderfully. A mixture of good and bad. I got
averages out to wonderful.
Well, no, wonderful on one hand, but for the same reason, look, I got a ton of stroopwafels in the mail this week.
From who?
Individually wrapped
stroopwafels. Nice, those are the good shit.
Yeah, Tom, I ordered it from a deals site.
A drug deals site?
No, just a regular deals site.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of those one deal every day?
But yeah, not like a the Woot one
that,
or Meh.
Yeah, but that... Yeah, meh. Woot was bought by Amazon.
Yeah, Woot's corporate now.
And it's just got like a bunch of stuff. Woot used to be one thing every day, and now it's just like a store.
Yeah.
But meh had these stroopwafels. They're all individually wrapped, which I don't love. but like, it was like $20 for I think hundreds of them. I just have this big... cardboard box full of stroopwafels in the middle of my living room now. I'm just eating stroopwafels all day, every day.
So nobody thinks this is a meh.com commercial. Like a year ago, I ordered CBD gummies from them. And then in the comments learned that this particular brand of CBD gummies had tested positive for synthetic marijuana.
Before or after you ate them?
AKA spice, AKA the stuff that they're like, oh, marijuana can't kill you, but this can. what do you mean before or after?
Did you eat them?
Yeah, I still paid for them, so I'm going to eat them. I don't think they really did anything.
Yeah.
And then I also bought like... disposable masks from them. And for some reason, I'm like, no, but these are legit. But those stroopwafels look legit.
Yeah, well, here's the deal with these stroopwafels, Tom. Mm-hmm.
I've had that. I feel like I've had that particular brand of stroopwafel.
If you've ever flown United Airlines, you have had it because mm-hmm. it's the one. And look, I've had stroopwafels before.
Yeah.
On American, on United Airlines.
You've had probably a Stroopwafel McFlurry, maybe.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. You know what the problem with the Stroopwafel McFlurry was? It didn't get distributed into the whole yeah. McFlurry. It kind of hung out near the top.
Kind of. To be honest with you, a big problem
with the
McFlurry.
Dirty little secret, yeah.
It's a great idea that the spoon is the stirrer. That's innovative as hell.
I
mean,
I don't care what the stirrer is.
No, but that's like a good
way. Whatever it
way.
Is when it gets to me. I just want it to have been stirred and that there was a spoon.
Look,
there for
I don't want anything from that I buy from McDonald's having been like inserted into my food. So in this case, it's like we're inserting something, but guess what? Then we give that to you. It's disposable.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we haven't inserted it into other things before yeah. your thing.
If
or
they were
after.
Like, before you buy a McNugget, we put a thermometer in there to measure the temperature, I'd be like, I don't want them anymore, yeah. then forget it.
These Stroopwafels, though, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were my introduction to this brand. Was my introduction, like on a United Airlines flight.
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
To the idea of Stroopwafels.
And then I've been chasing that high, mm-hmm. and I've bought other Stroopwafels that, frankly, that don't measure up.
Right.
And I know people are probably going to email. There's 100 people that are drafting emails right now, like, you know, those are not traditional Stroopwafels and the right. other ones that you, I don't care if things are authentic or not.
Yeah, I just
this
care
is
if I like
Stroopwafel that I like better than the other. Like when people are like, you know, Taco Bell isn't real Mexican food. It's like, yeah, I know. But it's
oh,
delicious.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yeah, Tom, huh. They don't even serve tacos there.
In Mexico?
No, at Taco Bell.
No, they serve tacos. I've had them.
Oh, they call them tacos.
Oh, but it's something different.
Those aren't real tacos. You know those people?
Yeah, right.
You know what else happens a lot? You know what I get more from people in the UK? And look, I love my fans all around the world. But
I don't know, Tim. More... You spent this intro complaining about communications they've sent to you.
More than anything, people in the UK are always correcting me on my pronunciation of things that are just pronounced differently here in the US.
Right.
It's like, they're like, oh no, it's tomato.
Yeah. It's like, or it's called a lift, you imbecile.
Yeah, it's like, I fully accept that is the word you use or the pronunciation you
right.
use.
And I wouldn't correct you about it.
You just have to understand we live in different places. There's right. there's some idiosyncrasies that come along with that. Anyway, these Stroopwafels are the brand from United. And here's the thing. I think this company friggin' manufactured all these Stroopwafels.
Mm-hmm.
And then United Airlines was like, oh, it's 2020. We can't distribute food on flights.
Yeah.
So they're unloading them to the deal sites. That's when I knew this wasn't going to be a CBD gummy situation where it's like, oh, this is the shit I want. And it's coming right from the manufacturer. Instead of sending it to LaGuardia Airport.
Right.
They're going to send it to Tim's house.
I feel like I did see a news article recently about like one. Maybe it wasn't the airline itself, but a company that supplied food to the airlines that was offering like home delivery or something like that for presumably the same reason. Not even presumably. I think it was pretty explicitly called out of, you know, hey, we're trying to keep in business here and there's a tenth of the flights there used to be. So, hey, we're going to sell. We've talked about this on the show. I am unabashedly a fan of airline food. I've rarely had a bad airline meal. And I think it's just because they load it with salt, because you apparently can't taste salt as well at you know, 30,000 feet. But it's great. I like, you know, just salty mush. It's fine.
You are a weird person. Like, I think it's fine. I think airline food is fine. I recently learned, Tom, mm-hmm. that they often donate airline food to like food pantries and like other distribution points for people who are food insecure. And that and you know, when I heard that, I made the joke like, oh yeah, that's just what people want, airline food. But it's actually great because they donate things in bulk that like there are a bunch of vegetarian meals. There's a bunch of kosher meals. Yeah. There's a bunch of like very specific.
Right. Low sodium meals, maybe.
Yeah. They're very.
Which just have a regular amount of salt.
Right. But hey, so let's raise a glass to the airline food industry.
I will. Look, again, I will defend my preference for airline food because the thing I like is that it's a bunch of different things in there when you open it up. That's all I want in a meal. I would rather have like six different mediocre to bad food items in a meal than one or two very good items. That, maybe that's not true. Maybe I would like, you know, like a delicious steak and fantastic mashed potatoes.
What you want is tapas, Tom.
Yeah, I've never been into tapas. I've been to a tapas restaurant, an outdoor seated place fairly recently. You know what, though? I went there. I just had Burger King, so I wasn't very hungry. All right, Tim. You know what? It's Thanksgiving this week in America, at least. In Canada, they had Thanksgiving like a while ago. I want to say weeks ago,
perhaps. Yeah. They're doing it wrong. They're doing Thanksgiving wrong. Don't they know that Thanksgiving is at the end of November?
Was it the last Thursday of November? It has to be.
I don't know.
And why Thursday? What else is on Thursdays?
Thursday's a cool day to have a holiday, Tom.
Oh, I agree. Because then Tom, it's like, well, we need to get Friday off. So
yeah. Must see TV.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night, right. Friends, you know, the single guy, Seinfeld, Madman of the People, ER.
Those aren't the best examples as far as must-see TV goes, but I agree. I mean, and I also remember in college, Thursday was the big party night.
Thirsty Thursday.
No, that's an Instagram thing. That's when you post semi-nude photographs of yourself on Instagram.
I'll never understand the internet, Tom.
But Thursday was always in college. Like, we're going to go out on Thursday. Because in college, it was like, what's the worst that can happen? We have to be slightly uncomfortable on Friday, even if I get so drunk I have to be taken to the hospital.
Yeah.
Where nowadays, it's like, I won't get drunk on a Friday because on Monday I've got shit to do.
I also never had class on Fridays in college.
Some people would say you've never had class at all.
Oh, I see. No, I was talking about, you know, when I was taking courses, they wouldn't hold, I didn't sign up for courses. I didn't enroll in the courses that met on Fridays.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that you still wound up valedictorian with that kind of attitude towards your studies.
I mean, who doesn't want a 3-day weekend every weekend?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I feel like they scheduled fewer classes on Friday. They knew what was up.
Yeah.
And there were very few classes on Fridays anyway.
I was very, very concerned with my schedule. I remember first semester of sophomore year, I got it so that every day except for Monday, I didn't have a class before like 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was so pissed the first Tuesday of the semester when my roommate woke me up because it was 9/11. And I was like, man, I'm not getting out of bed till noon. And he's like, no, 9/11 is happening. And I was
I don't even know what's happening. I know it's September 11th. I've got a wall calendar right there.
Yeah, exactly. I got a page a day calendar. It's got a new Dilbert cartoon every day.
I You sound like you were smarter than me. I think I didn't really pay that much.
Oh, really, Tom?
Well, in that one particular narrow instance, because I don't think I really paid that much attention when I was always nervous when I was registering for classes because they would go online at, you know, 9 a.m. on this day. And I was just always so like, ah, I have to get this class.
I don't remember the content or the title of any class really factoring into any decisions I made or the professor or the relevance to my major.
Yeah. I think I was somewhat similar, but I don't know. I just remember scheduling like 8 a.m. classes, and on the same day, I would have like a 7 p.m. class. And then later in the semester, I'd say to myself, what was I thinking? Why did I set up my day to be like this?
I'll tell you, Tom, you weren't thinking. That's what happened.
That's true.
So it's Thanksgiving time.
Thanksgiving time. And we're talking about pies. One of the... Thanksgiving tradition, I think.
Yeah.
A Thanksgiving tradition in that sweet pies are.
Mm-hmm. Savory pies. I don't know if we have time for savory pies this week.
Wow, really?
I mean, it's
almost all of my notes are about savory pies.
All right. It's baked dish. Usually made of pastry dough casing that contains a filling of various sweet or savory ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's know what a pie is.
Tom, this is for posterity. In 5 years, is anyone going to know what a pie is?
That's true. They might not. All I know is I'll say a few things about savory pies. First off, I think the only savory pie I like, that's not true. But the only savory pie
you're always arguing with yourself. Finish the sentence before you offer your rebuttal to yourself.
I don't... Going through...
My favorite pie is, how dare you, sir?
Going through day-to-day life, Tim, I don't let the other guy talk normally. So then when the podcast happens, the other guy, instead of just being a voice in my head, he talks out loud. The only savory pie that I have with somewhat regularity is chicken pot pie.
Yeah, and it's too wet inside. I don't like it.
It's too... No. You gotta
dry it out.
You got to have it right. If you get a good chicken pot pie, it's not too wet inside. Sometimes it sounds like you might be eating chicken pot pies that are too hot.
That might be the case, too.
But I was looking into some other nice hot pies, savory pies, and I think some of these you may come around on because some of these you aren't thinking of as pies.
All right, let's get these savory pies out of the way.
The first one, quiche.
Yeah, I'm not a big eggs guy, but... if there's enough cheese in the quiche,
yeah,
Timmy will pull a seat up to the table.
I love eggs. However, that will not stand in front of somebody who is looking to put a lot of cheese in a quiche. Nobody's ever said this quiche has too much cheese in it.
Yeah, I say swap the ratio, the traditional ratio of egg to cheese.
Yeah, have it mostly be cheese and just like some eggs kind of throughout, little veins of eggs. But the quiche, what a great, it's basically they figured out a way to make like a scrambled eggs pie. And I'm here for it, as the kids say.
Yeah.
This next one I don't like, steak and kidney.
Is that what it sounds like? Kidney?
Yeah.
Not kidney beans, right?
No, kidney from your inside your body. Well, presumably not human kidneys.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly.
But for me, it's like, well, just make a steak pie. Don't put kidney. That's just, you're just looking for a way to get rid of kidney.
Sweeney Todd probably puts human kidneys in his pie.
That's probably true. Actually, I will say that's absolutely true from what I remember.
Or the lady. I don't know. I never saw it. but he kills them and the lady puts them in a pie, right?
Yeah, yeah. He slits their throat and puts them down like a garbage chute. But it's not a garbage chute. It's a, I guess technically it's a pie chute. It's to send them down to the pie factory. This one I have not had when I was looking it up, but it sounds right up my alley. Cheese and onion pie.
I mean, I love a cheese and onion sandwich.
Yeah, and this basically sounds like a quiche without eggs.
that's what, and, hey. And
cheese and onion sandwiches are fantastic. So a cheese and onion pie, look, honestly, if I'm looking at it objectively, it's probably a bit too much. But slice me a little sliver of it at least.
What
Let me
else
try
do they
it
put?
Out.
They got to put something else in there. Potatoes?
Yeah, I think often it's potatoes is the other ingredient.
Nothing wrong with that, my
no,
friend.
No, but yeah, potatoes are great too. I mean, you can't eat just pure cheese pie or a pure onion pie. It's going to be too much.
The onion pie is disturbing.
So yeah, throw some potatoes in there. The potatoes will take on the cheese and onion taste.
You know what I've been eating with some frequency lately?
What's that?
String cheese.
Were you a little boy?
Yeah, I'm a little boy. That's how I get my protein. But what an indulgent treat. It's just like a stick of just straight up cheese.
Yeah.
We give this to kids. It's just like, here, have this hunk of cheese. That's your snack.
Have you ever had the Baby Bells?
Yeah, that's too... I mean... The string cheese has the benefit of you pull it off, so it's like it's like you're not just biting into a hunk all the time.
Well, but you can.
You can. Tom, I used to do that because I'm a grown adult, and when I would eat string cheese. Tom, people saw me do that at work, and they started saying I was I had a serial killer-like tendencies.
Well, you're just a man who values his time, as you said earlier in the episode, so...
Yeah, I don't need to play with my food.
No.
I'm 27 years old.
There's no reason why you have to eat string cheese that way. It's not like, a traditional Italian dish. You eat the mozzarella in strings.
Yeah.
That's just some shit they
came... serial killer.
They came up with that to get kids to stop eating so fast. That's all. These next two pies might surprise you.
Are we going to get into this situation? Is a hot dog a pie?
No. Well, one of them. Maybe both of these. The first one, Frito pie.
Okay. I would say that doesn't count as a pie.
It's
but,
got pie in the name.
That's true. It's got pie in the sky.
Frito pie is basically chili, but poured into an open bag of Fritos. Not, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess technically you could do like a family size bag, but the way I've experienced it, it's a single serve bag of Fritos that then just chili is dumped into. And then the Fritos not only acts as a container for the chili, but also you get some Fritos in your chili and corn chips and chili. That's great. Delicious.
Classic combination. Yeah. I know this as kind of bar food. And I think of it more as kind of Frito nachos, because the way that I've had it has also, it's been topped with chili, but then also cheese and sour cream.
Ooh.
Where it's just like...
Well, I mean, that's if you're getting a nice chili, that's what they're going to put on top of it, because it doesn't matter how good the chili is, it's going to be better with cheese and sour cream on top of it. Now you're not nowadays a yogurt on top of your chili guy?
I am just plain yogurt.
Yeah, I've been converted. Greek yogurt. It sounds insane.
But why does it sound insane?
Well, but
so
that's
many
the thing.
Food things sound insane until you realize like it's all the same ingredients. There's five tastes that I like, and I should be able to mix and match them with impunity.
Well, and that's the thing. You step back and you realize, well, yogurt and sour cream really aren't very different at all. And if anything, like Greek yogurt, is, I don't know, it's heavier than a sour cream, or at least a sour cream you buy at a store, like a, you know, regular, a...
not kind that you make at home?
Well, I'm just thinking about...
Perhaps, do you sour your own cream, Tom?
Perhaps a Friendship brand sour cream?
I'm partial to Hood brand sour cream.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't think I've ever had a sour cream and noticed it tastes better or worse than any other sour cream, unless it's gone bad.
And if you put plain Greek yogurt on anything and told me it was sour cream, I would not question it. I'd go to my grave thinking, you could really trick me. You could really pull one over on old Tim.
Yeah. So listen, there's a hot tip. You can put Greek yogurt, you can substitute that for sour cream. And
it doesn't really do much. It's not like measurably healthier.
I think people think it is.
Yeah, but guess what? It's not.
It has to be, though. It's healthier to eat a bowl of yogurt than it is to eat a bowl of sour cream, right?
I don't know. I think society tells us that, but I don't know if science tells us that.
I forget. I'll look it up. There is a difference between sour cream and yogurt. I feel like one is full fat and the other one's not full fat. Maybe yogurt's not full fat.
You can get all sorts of yogurt. You can get full
fat.
That's
true. Well, I don't get full fat. I mean, I guess I also get light sour cream. But friends of the show, Robbie and Colleen, they were the ones that turned me on to this whole yogurt instead of sour cream thing with a very simple proposition. When you buy sour cream, how often do you...
An indecent proposal.
When you buy sour cream, how often do you use all that sour cream? If you buy yogurt and you use that as sour cream, well, then you can just have yogurt like normal. Now, I'm realizing as I say this, the flip side of that is if I buy sour cream, maybe I can just start eating sour cream on its own and just have that be a thing I do.
Yeah, that way you're not wasting it. Tom? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I stand corrected. Greek yogurt is higher in protein than sour cream and lower in fat and cholesterol.
Yeah, so there you go. What's the difference in how they're made?
I'll tell you, Tom. Greek yogurt is made from milk and live cultures.
Mm-hmm.
The bacteria ferments the milk, giving it a tangy taste.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, the liquid whey is removed.
Okay.
Sour cream is made by adding bacterial cultures to pasteurized cream with at least 18% fat. I guess this is where your full fat situation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's repasteurized to destroy the bacteria and stop fermentation. That just seems too complicated.
Yeah.
They
twice
pasteurize it twice? Like, who came up with that idea?
Yeah, just have yogurt. They've left it out. They don't care. Non-pasteurized. Let me tell you what the last savory pie...
As if anybody came here to hear about goddamn savory pies, Tom.
Oh, this is going to be very controversial to you. The last savory pie... A calzone.
You're out of your skull, Tom.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Tom, back to the main event here. Let's talk about pies.
I was talking about pies. You just mean sweet pies.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get in the Thanksgiving spirit.
By the end of this episode, Tim, you'll be eating humble pie.
Now, what's that?
I looked it up, actually. Humble pie comes from humble pie, which was a type of pie that poor people ate like hundreds of years ago.
What was it? Humble pie?
Humble pie. So humble without a H. H. Huh. Yeah, it was just like, oh, you'll be eating poor person pie when I'm done with you.
I'll steal all your money.
Yeah, it was just like, I'll financially ruin you and you'll be eating shit out of the garbage.
Tom, is it too early for us to reveal what our favorite pie is?
Yeah, it's too early. Tim, you gotta keep people listening till the end. Okay. That's why people are tuning in.
You're not gonna believe what my favorite pie is.
Wow, what a tease.
Tom, let's go through the most common sweet pies, right?
Okay.
This is what you would find in a normal year, not this year, on the table at my Thanksgiving gathering, which usually I have hundreds of people. It's some of my extended family, some of my closest friends, and hundreds of my biggest fans. We all get together, and we have Thanksgiving dinner together. And then the dessert table.
I've never been invited to Thanksgiving at your house, Tim, so I don't think this could possibly be true.
I mean, maybe you should work to be a bigger fan.
No, that, Tim, that's not what
Well, we're not related. You're not my family.
No, you said some of your closest friends.
Did I say coworkers, Tom?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I invite my coworkers.
You know what? I will take that comment back. You're right. But this year you've narrowed it down to just because of COVID-19 restrictions, a tight 5 dozen of your closest.
Yeah, 60, yeah, it's majority fans. And then only my elderly relatives.
Right, yeah. Well, it's only fair to
seniority.
Them. You don't want to make them feel left out.
Exactly. Look, American style, Tom, apple pie. How do you feel about an apple pie?
Hey, what's more American than apple pie? I'll tell you, apple pie a la mode. Even though that sounds like fancy pants French terminology.
Yeah. No, well, but we're canceling a la mode.
But I've also talked at length on this podcast about my predilection towards apple pie and a slice of very sharp cheddar cheese on the side.
I haven't yet tried that.
You gotta try it. You haven't lived.
Well, here's the thing, Tom.
You go back again. It goes back to my airline food being delicious, but that's more, look, that's a subjective statement.
That's a psychotic.
But apple pie and very sharp cheddar cheese, some nice Cracker Barrel sharp cheddar. You go back and forth between these very savory and very sweet tastes, and it just accentuates both of them beautifully.
Oh, sweet and savory. Who would have thought? Tom, how do you feel you see people when they heat up a slice of apple pie? Sometimes they'll put a slice of cheese on it.
Yeah.
And kind of like melt it on there.
I was going
to
say.
That to me, yeah. I don't like the when, two tastes that go together and you have to like alternate. Like, nah, I want a forkful with all
no,
the tastes.
See,
in one.
I completely disagree. When people do that, it disgusts me because that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be two separate things because you don't necessarily want a taste of cheese with every bite of apple pie. It's there almost as not a palate cleanser, but a palate booster.
Enhancer. Yeah, exactly. I get it. You know what, to me, I stress over, like, then what is the optimal, like, should it be every two bites? How big should each bite be?
But then that's good. You should be focusing on your food when you eat it. You should be thinking about all of these things.
You should be focusing, but you shouldn't be stressing. I don't want eating pie to be stressful.
Look,
I got enough stress in my life.
Here's the solution to that, Tim. You make sure you got tons of pie and tons of cheese on your plate. And then you don't really have to worry. Make sure you have enough of both so that you'll feel sick before you're done with either of them.
Hmm. All right.
And then you just don't have to worry about the ratios.
Yeah. So my
also
mother...
Also, melted sharp... Let me just say this. Melted.
I was trying to tell
melted
speak
sharp,
of my mother, a woman...
Melted sharp cheddar cheese is not as good as cold cheddar cheese, refrigerated cheddar cheese.
I think it depends on the context.
Not when you're talking sharp.
What should the temperature of the not when you're talking sharp really got me. What should the temperature of the pie be?
Warm.
Okay.
Like warm enough to have sex with.
Like the famous movie.
Yeah.
Sex pie. Yeah.
Right, but not so hot that you're gonna get a burn on your genitals.
Let me ask you this, Tom. Wait, no, that's not what I...
No,
I
you were talking about your mother before I interrupted.
Yeah, she's ordered me a pie for...
To throw in your face?
I don't think we'll be spending Thanksgiving together due to the pandemic, so I mm-hmm. think this was like a consolation pie.
She's gonna have a clown come ring on your doorbell, throw a pie in your face.
Yeah, look, if that were the case, I'd just be like, straight whipped cream, please. That's mm-hmm. all I want. And she had me choose any type of pie, and I panicked.
Mm-hmm.
I said apple pie.
Okay.
I like
think
apple
that's
pie.
Horrible, right?
No, I like apple pie, but like I like to think that I'd have a little bit more of an outside of the box. Well, here's the thing. I originally said pumpkin pie, but my wife's like, I don't like pumpkin pie.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, apple pie, I guess, because I panicked. Uh-huh. And then we got off the phone call, the Zoom call with my family, and my wife was like, oh, you could have kept it as pumpkin pie. I don't like any pie. I don't like pie.
You don't like pie?
That's what my wife told me.
Oh, wow. I was confused.
And I didn't find this out. I've known her for almost 10 years.
I was confused when you were telling this story because you call your wife mother most of the time. So I couldn't tell who you were talking about.
That's true. That does get very confusing. But I stand by that decision.
Why did she think you don't like pie?
No, you weren't listening to me at all.
What?
Tom. She doesn't like pie.
Oh, and she thought you don't like pie?
No. Tom, do I have to tell the story again? Was I unclear or were you reading something?
You were very unclear. Like I said to him, I couldn't tell if you were talking about your wife or your mother. It seems like they're very interchangeable.
My mother mm-hmm. offered my wife and I a pie.
Okay.
And I said pumpkin pie. And then I said, no, I know that my wife does not like pumpkin pie.
Okay.
I choose instead... apple pie.
Right.
As like, what's another pie? What's another pie?
Well, apple not pie. Only what's another pie, what's a pie everybody likes?
Yeah. And then My mom said, great, I'll send you guys an apple pie. It'll be great. Happy Thanksgiving. Get off the call. My wife turns to me and says, hey, you could have just said pumpkin pie. I don't care if it's pumpkin pie or apple pie. I don't like pie.
What is not to like about pie?
It's... That's what I said. But, you know, look, everybody has their own
palate.
Does
she just not like crust?
I don't know. She told me that I wanted her to answer to this, but she refuses to
wow, to unbelievable.
And I was like, Tom's going to have a lot of questions.
Yeah, because I don't understand. If you don't like pie, to me that means you don't like pie crust.
Here's the thing. The lady because, makes a mean quiche. She's making quiches all the time.
Well, I got news for you, Tim. That's a pie.
I know.
Your wife's lying to you.
I know. This is
ultimately what I'm trying to tell you.
This is a conversation you need to have with her. And
it sounds like it's a conversation.
She refuses to have it in public.
It sounds like a conversation I need to have with you, Tim. I think you need to pack your bags tonight. Tell her you're going out for a pack of cigarettes and just never come back.
I got nowhere to go.
You'll figure it out. You'll start a family in the Midwest. I've been thinking nonstop about how hard it must be to keep a secret family going during these times, during COVID times. That's all.
I mean, I think it's a big lift anyway.
Oh, 100%. It's one of those things that I can't understand how you would do it in the first place. But then especially nowadays, I don't get it. Because I constantly joke with my girlfriend that I'm cheating on her. And
cool.
And it's a funny joke because we spend 24 hours a day within, 10 feet of each other.
Yeah, I'm never more than 8 feet away from my wife.
So how on earth
for 8 months?
How on earth could that possibly be the case?
Yeah. Look, the people my heart goes out to the most in this pandemic. Number one, the people who in good times. Are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes. Yeah. And now number two, it's 10 times harder.
Yeah. Number two, men who are cheating on their spouse, and maintaining a different entire nuclear family in a different state.
Yeah. Well, so what made me think about this was, did you hear about how, Justin Bieber's, pasture was caught recently? Is pastor at that Hillsong Church that right. That all
now
the,
watch tread lightly. I'm a member.
That all the it's like a hipster Christian church, and you know, celebrity.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff going on.
And celebrities are this is Chris Pratt's church.
Yeah, I mean, some people in this church have sleeve tattoos.
Yeah. Well, so that's
some
the
people
thing.
Wear V-neck T-shirts.
It's not your grandpappy's Christian church, but this guy Carl Lentz, he's Justin Bieber's pastor. He was fired from this church, and his wife was fired because he had an affair that was found out about because this knucklehead was signed into iCloud all over the place. So when he's, you know, having sexts with his mistress, they're popping up on his work computer. And everybody's like, stop that incessant dinging. And then they look and they're like, ooh la la. Except not ooh la la. They're like, shame, shame, shame.
How many families or relationships have ended because iCloud is a crappy, confusing product that nobody knows how it works or how to turn it on and off or connect it to certain devices, where it's like, I had no idea that my sexts were going to my family computer. I don't even remember setting that up. I didn't know that text messages went to the computer. How and why does that happen?
Yeah, iCloud is very much a, like, it either works great and you're like, I don't even know how that worked, but this is fantastic. Or like, wait, what? Why did it go there? I told it specifically not to go there.
Yeah. And then you had to call your son who's busy at work and they're and constantly ask him all these questions about like, why can I make a phone call from FaceTime using my email address, but not my phone number. And your son's not going to know that. Your son, look, he doesn't understand.
Yeah. Well, I remember years ago, I like switched for a little bit to Android, mostly just because I was mad at AT&T. And this is when the iPhone was the iPhone was only on AT&T, and I refused to be an AT&T customer anymore. So I switched and I was using Android for a bit. And I turned off iCloud before I switched, and I just didn't get text messages for like a month. but anyway, that's...
that's because everyone was mad at you for... None of us sent you text messages, Tom.
Because you were so mad that I switched?
In this friend group, we are loyal to AT&T.
Yeah, you refuse to have them green bubbles show up.
Yeah.
But this guy, Carl, he started this affair during COVID. And the guy lives in New Jersey and works in New York. He lives in New Jersey with his wife and kids. And then like in May started an affair where it's like, buddy, this is not a good time to be starting an affair.
Yeah. But you know, these guys, these are like the type of people who are not like, well, there's a pandemic on, so I'm going to stay close to home and hunker down. They're just like, yeah, God will protect me. I'll be out there and I'm just going to go do stuff. And just like,
God will protect me while I'm breaking the vows I made to him and my wife.
Yeah, but like, you know, if I said to my wife, like, going out for a while, she'd be like, where? There's nowhere, like...
yeah.
Unless and you're like, going to the supermarket as quickly as you can.
What do you mean you're going out for a while? I know you're incredibly scared about catching this horrible virus. Why are you going out?
And then also the fact that this gentleman's wife was also kicked out of the church because she was being cheated on.
Yeah.
Also leads me to believe that, like... Maybe she wasn't like questioning when he's like, I'm going out for a while. I think maybe she was just kind of like, okay.
No, it's
supposed to question this.
It was apparently a rule that like if like an employee gets fired from the company, their spouse also gets fired if they were working for that company.
Hmm.
It's a good company, it sounds like, to work for. I mean, any company that's founded around a religion is a pretty good company to work for. It's a pretty good way to make money.
Quaker Oats.
Wow. I take it back, Tim. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't eat oatmeal if you forced me to.
I eat oatmeal every goddamn day of my life.
Well, maybe that answers a lot of questions.
What do we have against the Quakers, Tom? Nothing.
You know what? I think we just don't know enough about them.
I know a lot about the Quakers. I'm pro Quaker.
Okay.
I'm pro whatever anybody
wants
to
be. Well, do they fire spouses?
I don't know.
Well, I feel like that's what you implied before.
We're talking about pies here, Tom.
We are. Let's go back to pie talk.
And next time I say something, just listen to me the first time I say it so I don't have to repeat it again for you and bore the audience.
We'll see.
Luckily, that was an exciting enough story that everybody enjoyed it the second time around.
I was reading about, by the way, speaking of religion, the first victim of a pie in the face.
The Pope?
What? The Pope? No.
You said speaking of religion.
Well, no, I'm going to speak of religion in a minute. The man's name is Ben Turpin. He was a vaudeville and silent film star, and he was the first, pretty much universally believed, the first man on film to suffer a pie being thrown in his face. But he was a his big shtick, man. We should have, Tim, if we were around during silent film time, we would have done gangbusters. We would have been done so well because this guy's whole shtick.
Yeah, just as well as we do in the podcast industry.
This guy's whole shtick was just that his eyes were crossed because he, like, you know, got hit in the head and his eyes went crossed. And, like, then he just was, you know, a silent film star with cross eyes. He was a devout Catholic, and his workmates occasionally goaded him by threatening to pray that his eyes would uncross, thus depriving him of his livelihood.
Wait, his eyes were really crossed?
Yeah, his eyes were really crossed.
Because he got hit in the head?
Yeah. So then people, when they were
How
like...
How could you believe in a just and
I'll tell you how, Tim, because he was so delighted with his success that he often introduced himself by saying, "Hi, I'm Ben Turpin. I make $3,000 a week."
Wow. That's how you can tell he's a man of God.
And this and this $3,000 a week in like the teens and 20s.
Yeah.
So it's
you can tell when somebody
an unbelievable
is really...
amount of money.
Yeah, that's a good way to tell if somebody is a follower, a devout follower of Jesus, is if they introduce themselves by bragging about how rich they are in by citing very specific dollar amounts.
Well, and if they also think, well, if people pray that my eyes uncross, God might listen to them. So that's really how you get under my skin, because I think maybe God just listens to the most recent person he's talked to.
I think this guy read the Bible and immediately internalized all the lessons from it.
He famously had a $25,000 insurance policy with Lloyd's of London, payable if his eyes ever uncrossed. A 1920 version of the story had his eyes insured for $100,000, which $100,000 in 1920 was like $1 billion.
$25 billion, yeah.
But his eyes, they didn't betray him. They stayed crossed the whole time. But
you
nowadays,
know you can just cross your eyes. I'm crossing my eyes right now. Look, Tom.
You know what? I see. You're a regular Ben Turpin. Well, you're not doing it as well as he did, to be honest with you. But he also, the last movie he appeared in was like kind of nonfiction, apparently. It was like about the silent movie era. Mm-hmm. And it featured a scene of him with his eyes uncrossed and then just like looking in a mirror and being like, well, it's showtime, and crossing his eyes and going out. So who knows?
It was a put on this whole time. What a way to go out.
Yeah. Yeah, just to expose yourself and be like, yeah. He was one of these silent film guys that didn't make it over to the talkies, but it sounds like he was super rich by then and got into real estate. And he was like, oh, the talkies, forget it. I've made a fortune just being cross-eyed.
Real estate was his Casamigos.
Yeah, but also, you know, he was so obsessed with being cross-eyed, and look at him now. That's not what he's famous for. He's famous for having a pie thrown in his face before anyone else.
You have very little control of what your legacy will be, Tom.
That's not a bad legacy. I would love to be remembered as the first man to get a pie thrown in his face.
Yeah, well, you're going to be the most recent guy in a minute.
Instead, I'm going to be remembered as the last man to get a pie thrown in his face.
How do you feel about cherry pie, Tom? Have you ever had cherry pie?
Yeah, it sounds like it would be great, but it's not. It's too much, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking, I don't know that I've ever had it.
I mean, I only like maraschino cherries.
Ooh, man, with high fancy tastes.
Regular cherries suck.
All right, Tom, this is what happened when we started with savory pies. We're rushing. We've talked about two sweet pies.
All right, go on to the next one. You want to talk about shoe fly pie?
Yeah, let's talk about shoe fly pie.
It's fucking molasses pie. Who wants to eat that?
Why not?
You want to just eat like a jar of molasses, you freak?
encased in a pie crust, I'd have a slice of it.
Too much. I'd have a sliver, maybe.
Have you ever had it?
No. I haven't had shoe fly pie. I don't live in a cartoon.
You've been spending time in Pennsylvania. I thought maybe...
They don't have shoe fly pie in Pennsylvania, Tim.
Yeah, they do.
I guess they probably have shoe fly pie everywhere, but
no. But that's where it came from.
Oh, did it? All right.
Yeah. The Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah. Well, I think probably eventually people were like, "Too many flies, forget it," and they stopped making that kind of pie.
People would eat it for breakfast.
Oh, sick, sick! You should eat Fruit Loops for breakfast. or Cocoa Puffs.
Tom, underrated pie, key lime pie.
I don't think it's underrated. I would say...
Because you don't think it's that good, or you think that people...
No, I would say it's not underrated because that's probably, all things considered, my favorite pie. And
I
will say this, with the asterisk of it's not always readily available.
Okay.
So I think actually if it were always available, if it were more of a staple, I probably wouldn't like it as much because it's very good in small doses. But if you get too much of it, then it could be too much. And I know this because I was in Key West, Florida earlier this year and had key lime pie out my ears because that's where it came from. So every place claims that they're the original key lime pie, blah, 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 blah. So I hate
who's the original thing. Like, right. The Philly cheesesteak. It's like... I don't care.
I don't care who's the original. Who's the best at making it now?
Yeah.
Because especially a lot of recipes, you know, buffalo wings, for example. It's like, okay, somebody came up with this idea and it was a great idea. They did not crack it on the first draft, though. Somebody else always took that idea of like, what a great idea, but they...
They should have tweaked
this, and this.
That's
and
how
now
progress works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now it's 10 times like, better. So I don't care about like, first.
Hey, the first rock and roll band. It's like right. If we all had to keep listening to that same rock and roll band.
I will say this. I'm realizing the exception, perhaps the exception that proves the rule. That I did go to in Puerto Rico, the place that is famed for being the first piña colada, that they invented the piña colada.
They were lying to you, Tom.
No, it wasn't just that they told me that. It was publicized all over the place. I think it is like proven, like, yeah, they came up with this. And I will tell you, it was a damn good piña colada. But I think because they just stuck to the like core ingredients. They didn't try and like, you know, mix it up or whatever.
Yeah. Tom, have you ever had lemon meringue pie?
Only thrown in my face.
Have you ever had sweet potato pie? All right, there's the sweet potato versus pumpkin pie kind of rivalry.
I don't like pumpkin pie. I don't like pumpkins. I like sweet potatoes. I don't like sweet potato pie. I don't want a potato pie. Get out of here. I'll eat potatoes on their own.
But what if there's cheese and onions in there too?
Yeah, then I'll have some, sure.
All right, Tom.
I would like to have a lemon meringue pie. I feel like that's an old-timey pie that you don't see enough anymore.
I'm not entirely sure what meringue is, but it's delicious. It's white.
It's like the fluffy stuff on top. Kind of like icing. Not icing, but like a whipped cream-ish. I've had meringues.
Have you ever made lemon meringues?
No, I was reading about turtle pie, though, which at first I was like, ew, gross, but it's caramel, chocolate, and pecan. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I think, did you say pecan or pecan?
You know what? I say both. It depends on the mood I'm in. Tim, should we reveal our favorite pies now?
I don't know if it's time.
After the plugs, we'll reveal our favorite pies.
Yeah,
maybe?
let's reveal it after the plugs.
Okay.
You know what? Okay, yeah. Look, because mine's a little outside the box. Is yours going to be key lime pie?
No.
Well, then why did you say it was your favorite earlier?
I said it was my favorite because of how rare it is. That if key lime pie is one of the pies on offer, I'll take that because it's rare to get it.
Got it. Okay, do the plugs. I'm going to eat this Stroop waffle while you do the plugs.
If you like the show, get TCG. Don't put it in front of the microphone.
What?
If you like the show, get TCGTE.com to find out more. If you want to support the show, check out our sponsors. Also, check out patreon.com/complete guide for our Patreon Books the Podcast. This week we're finishing up
Sweet and Chewy,
our Pet Sematary month. I just watched a movie. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to figure out a new book. Hey, Books the Podcast, taking the world by storm. Patreon.com/complete guide to get all the old episodes too. If you want to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/complete guide. Follow us on Twitter at TCGTE and follow us on Instagram at TCGTE. Follow us on Twitter at complete guide. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal Tim.
Check out our Discord. It's complete guide. It's the Discord. A lot of talk happening on there. A lot of organizing, and you can also check out our Reddit r/TCGC. Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's all damn plugs. Hey, leave us a review if you like the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Why not? We'd sure appreciate it.
It makes us feel good about ourselves.
It really does. We get emails with the reviews every week. And
extra, the reviews are in.
Yeah. And you know what? We appreciate all the nice reviews. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And to all the people that leave bad reviews, go fuck yourselves.
Well, they're not listening anymore. I mean, at least some of them are listening.
It's like what... when they're like, Howard Stern, people who hate you, the people who like you listen for an average of 20 minutes. The people who hate you listen for an average of an hour and a half.
Is that what Howard Stern said?
Yeah, ever see Private Parts, Tom?
No. I mean, really? Yeah, I have seen it, just not, I saw it when it came out, not recently. But I mean, all of his, I don't know, the people that like him listen to him more than 20 minutes.
No, because at the time it was like blue-collar Joe's was like in the pickup truck,
a jockey.
Yeah,
I saw like, this thing one guy, the other,
or this one lady, cutting mm-hmm. girl said, two boring guys chatting with each other. This podcast isn't particularly informative or entertaining. It's just two bland guys chatting casually and in a meandering fashion. This girl is cutting.
Yeah,
cut
I mean
right to
that,
our bone.
Yeah, but that's true.
Yeah, that could have been a 1 or 5 star review.
Right, exactly. It could go either way.
In these troubled times, isn't it nice to hear two boring guys having a meandering conversation?
Tim,
isn't it time that we hear from two straight middle class white guys
who are approaching middle age?
Yeah. What? When?
How
are we
else
get
do you
date?
Hear from them?
Yeah. All right, let's reveal these spies.
All right, Tim. What is Tim's pie of the century?
Pie of the century. Pie in the sky is the Mississippi mud pie.
What?
What?
Is that a dump?
What? No, it's a pie.
No, but it's like a euphemism for like a big messy shit, right?
No, no, no. That's just a mud pie, a Mississippi mud pie. It's like a bunch of chocolate. It's like gooey chocolate stuff.
I think, Tim, I think you're being tricked. I think they're like, oh no, a Mississippi mud pie.
I've been eating this the whole time. Shit.
That, yeah, it's not shit. It's a Mississippi mud pie. It's different. That's my Mississippi accent. I don't know
it's
what.
It's terrible. It's like kind of trying to be Cajun, but that's not Mississippi. That's Louisiana.
I guarantee it's. Tim, let me reveal my pie of the century. Pecan/pecan pie.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Nah, it's the best. That's the best kind of pie. You know what? Because it is. I've had shitty apple pies.
Shit.
I've had shit baked in a pie. I've had shitty apple pies. I've never had a shitty pecan pie. Because I think pecan pie is like kind of tough to make. So if somebody's tackling it, they know how to do it. Where apple pie, I feel like I'd be like, oh, I can make an apple pie. And I'm going to make an apple pie that's like just boiled water with apples in a pie
crust.
This is
the dumbest theory that you have, that you've ever had.
No, because I'm telling you, key lime pie, when it's good, is my favorite pie. But if I've got a plate full of unknown pies, I'm going to go pecan.
Yeah, but when you're picking your favorite food, you should be imagining the best version of it, not just like what some asshole could make.
All right, then it's key lime pecan pie.
That doesn't exist, but we should try it.
Yeah. Tim, you barely even, I don't think you even talked about cream pies on this episode.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.